I'm Deacon Mike, and today we look at the Gospel of St. Luke. This Gospel was written by an educated Gentile physician, first of the body and later of the soul. Paul speaks of Luke as his beloved companion among the circumcised. It is the only New Testament writing from a Gentile, who was the master of both elegant or official Greek and common Greek. He is also the only author of a sequel, the Acts of the Apostles. You can't understand one without the other. In Acts, the history of the early Christian communities after the resurrection of Jesus, Luke writes about what he sees happening, which completes the gospel where he writes about what he has heard about Jesus. Luke never knew Jesus personally, but many others like the Romans, the Greeks, the Turks, and the Africans also knew of Jesus. Tradition gives us that Luke was written sometime during the 80s. Luke is trying to show us that we are saved by a commitment to God through Jesus, and is explaining how the influence of Jesus did not end with the cross, but continues because of the resurrection. Jesus will still direct and guide, as he is the link between the Jewish past and the Gentile future. In Luke's gospel, Jesus is less verbose and more of a man of action. It is an orderly account that is both artistic and spiritually a masterpiece. It is interesting to note the parallel passages in its structure. For example, after an address to Theophilus, the gospel begins with Zechariah and Elizabeth being in service to the temple. Then when we get to chapter 24, verse 52, after Jesus ascends to heaven, the apostles return to Jerusalem and are continually praising God in the temple. Luke also uses Mark for his principal source with some variation. It is only in Luke we read of the Annunciation, the finding in the temple at age 12, the prodigal son, and the Good Samaritan. It was written for Gentiles, non-Jews, and diaspora Jews, ancestors of those who did not return to the Holy Land after the Babylonian captivity. Luke shows Jesus as the long-ago promised one, but with a twist. It is not just for Jews, the chosen people, but for all people. Those who had returned from Babylon gathered into one book the history lessons learned from the captivity, that the will of God has to be obeyed. Salvation begins with proclaiming the kingdom and the Spirit descending upon Jesus at his baptism. This salvation is offered first to Israel as the promised Savior of the Old Covenant. But this salvation was open to all nations, that Gentiles can also achieve salvation. To live the promise completely, one must also show concern for others, no matter their religion or creed. The opening address to Theophilus gives the account as to why this gospel was written. Since many others have attempted to compile a narrative of the events that have been fulfilled among us, just as those who were eyewitnesses from the beginning and ministers of the word have handed down to us, I too have decided, after investigating everything accurately anew, to write it down in an orderly sequence for you, so that you may realize the certainty of the teachings you have received. We read of the infancy narrative, only one of two in Scripture, with Matthew being the other. In chapter 3, Jesus begins his preparation for ministry, building upon the ministry of John the Baptist and the temptation in the desert. Chapter 4, verse 15, the gospel then covers his time in Galilee, which concludes in chapter 9, verse 50. He goes about healing the sick, calling the disciples, and the transfiguration event. From chapter 9, verse 51, through chapter 19, verse 27, Jesus begins his journey to Jerusalem, predicting his death. With chapter 19, verse 28, through chapter 23, verse 56, we move to the Passion narrative, and then ending in chapter 24 with the resurrection and ascension. The key to understanding the Gospel of Luke can be found in chapter 19, verse 10. Jesus is dining with the tax collector Zacchaeus, and people are grumbling. Why is he spending his time with the sinner? Jesus answers, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save what was lost." To achieve this end, Jesus, in words and actions, lives out the words of everlasting life. I'm Deacon Mike. Thank you for joining me.